for hanging with me this week with my voice being bad. I know it's annoying. I feel bad for people with misophonia. Phoebe has that.
I don't know that.
It's mostly mouth sounds.
Okay.
Like people chewing, especially aggressively, ooh, or if someone has a cold and a lot of that stuff, it really drives people crazy.
Oh, I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I chew, it drives my wife crazy.
I bet it does.
Or breathing.
Or
yeah, you know, yeah. All the normal stuff.
Being in bed.
Can't you sleep on the couch?
So Rach says that there, excuse me, was a debate.
There was.
County executive.
Tuesday night.
Tell me about it.
So it was at Lindenwood University at the J. Scheidegger Center for the Arts.
And great place, by the way.
It is. It's an amazing place. 1,200 seat, the most Broadway style theater you're going to see in the Midwest.
Yeah.
And it was built that way. But I digress. Steve Ellman, Bill Eigel, Jason Law, all three on stage. And I would tell you, after all the back and forth with everything, I don't think anybody really changed anybody's minds.
Okay.
It's Eigel's kind of environment.
How aggressive is Bill presenting?
Huge. Huge. I was sitting next to some people. I'm obviously a Steve Ellman guy.
Yeah.
And I was sitting next to some friends who were some Jason Law people. And at one point, she turned to me and she said, Bill is such a that I can't say on the radio, right? So he just comes across that way, and he's very aggressive. And the whole Sleepy Steve and all of that, that it's what you expect Bill to be. And I would tell you, I think it put Ellman on his heels, because he was kind of put off by the fact he wasn't expecting, and I don't know why, but I don't think he was expecting Eigel to be that aggressive, sitting that close. But he was.
Hmm. How did it play in the house?
So Eigel's fans love that about him. So it kind of feeds that element of the party. That's his element. And they love the get in your face and tell them how it is, blah, 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 blah. Right? So they loved it. The other folks, not so much. So it was kind of a split house. You had about, I was telling Rach, probably 250, 300 that were there. Decent crowd. It's a 1,200 seat theater. So, you know, it wasn't packed, but it was a good crowd. I thought all in all, it really kind of clarified the race that this is an Ellman Eigel race. Law is in it, but he's not a player, I don't think. And you felt that on the stage, because Bill and Steve were going back and forth with each other so much at some point that Jamie, who was moderating at one point when there was a break, and he goes, Mr. Law, I'll give you a minute just because. And it was kind of like he
wow.
was.
It's never good.
Well, yeah. I mean, he was just standing there for so long. And the two of them, you know, the rules of the debate were if someone mentions you, you get 30 seconds to respond. Well, they kept mentioning each other back and forth. So they kept giving each other 30 seconds. And Jason was just kind of standing there like, I don't really have anything. And he kept coming back to, I'm a lieutenant colonel. I'm a police officer. I'm not a career politician. I'm not polished. And I'm like, man, I wouldn't say that if I were you. I mean, the first part was great. Saying the I'm not polished four or five times, I don't think you needed to do that. Mm-hmm. And I think it reinforced something that showed because, and nothing against him, that's not his element. You know, he's a cop. So you don't yell at cops, generally speaking. If you do, it doesn't go well, right? So
good point.
I don't think he is used to that type either, without being able to do something about it and put a stop to it, right? So for him, when Eigel turned on him, he said something about how he put a moratorium on apartments, being Law, said, I put a moratorium on apartments when I came in to be the mayor of Lake St. Louis. And Eigel just turned and unloaded on him with both barrels, because he pointed out the fact that 8 years prior to that, he was on the board of aldermen and he approved 900 apartment units to be built there. and said, yeah, I guess you could do a moratorium because I don't think there was any open ground left in Lake St. Louis for you to be able to put a new apartment complex on. And I think that really kind of, he's like, oh, hey, I thought you were just going after the old guy. I didn't know you were going after me. And that kind of put him back on his heels as well. Bill was everything you would expect Bill to be. But after running for governor for 2 years, man, he's good at his spiel. He's got it down. He's not truthful, and he plays with the facts on a regular basis, but it doesn't really matter. You say it with confidence, and people believe it, and he says everything he does with confidence.
How, I've only had Bill on a few times.
That's probably enough.
Well, I mean, he's always been very kind to me.
Yeah.
So I don't beat up on him as much as other people do, and maybe that's just because I'm a little more like Trump than I'd like to say, and I like when people like me. I mean, maybe it's that, but his wife is a fan of the show, so I never really go after Bill that much. But then again, I don't know him that well, but I've always just assumed that Trump is the original.
He is.
And then there's a bunch of people, I think Bill's one of those, who said, that looks like a pretty good character. I think I can make this work on a local level.
And at a portion of the Republican Party, that plays really well.
Clearly.
And Bill has done a great job of tapping into that. It's about, I would say it's probably a third of the Republican Party lives in that lane. And he has done a great job of coalescing that group behind him. He knows what they want to hear. He gives it to them on a regular basis. And
are they still playing the hits, or are there new people to be angry at?
No, it's... Bill's a little different because Bill doesn't really need Democrats. He's good with fighting with Republicans. You know, he's kind of the original you're a rhino guy and just beats up on that. So when you get to primaries, and for his political career, that's all he's had to worry about. I mean, he ran for Senate in St. Charles County. In his Senate district, a Democrat's not going to win. So he never had to face a Democrat. All of his political career has really been, he turns his barrels on fellow Republicans and shoots them, because that's really been all he's had to compete with. So he did it with Ann Zaire when he ran against her back in 2016. He did it against Kehoe in 24. Now he's doing it against Elman. So I've always joked Bill doesn't really need Democrats. He's just fine fighting with Republicans.
Rach and Wheels, jump in here anywhere you want. One last question until I turn it over to these guys. If you were advising Steve, would you say, get in there, get as tough as you can, throw some left hooks, or would you say, you keep being Steve?
I think it's a little bit of both. You can't let the things that he says go uncontested. Right. So there's things that Bill says he's going to do with, I'm going to pay your personal property tax. And the solution that he has is county government is going to find all this savings. We're going to cut that and we're going to pay your property tax. Well, you can't. It's against the Missouri Constitution for one political entity to collect taxes and pay another political entity. He says that that's not true. Your mortgage company does it all the time. And like, that's completely different. You're mixing up things. Your mortgage company can pay your insurance and can pay the taxes on your house. That's the way it's set up. But county government can't collect your money and then turn around and pay it. He also says there's a $600,000 county budget. It's not. What he's counting is $272 million in road money that we're already in the process of building. And the analogy I give is we've already spent that money on the credit card. We just haven't got the bill yet. So we have the money sitting in a fund to be able to pay the bill when you get it. But that's coming later on this year. He's acting like that's our normal bill or our normal budget. Our normal budget is $379 million. So if you're going to go find $120 million in savings, it's easier when you've got a $600 million budget. But when it's $379, now you're talking about, you know, a third of the budget you're going to have to cut. And the majority of that budget is specialized funds that the voters have approved. There's a capital fund. There's a road and bridge fund. There's a dispatch and alarm fund. There's a parks fund. All that money is protected. You can't go grab it. The only money that you have to move is general fund. General fund money is between $105 and $120 million. That's really what we have to move back and forth. But that's also all the money that we have in the budget to pay all of our employees. That pays our cops, our highway workers, your corrections. That's everybody. So he doesn't have the ability to go grab that money and go pay something. So what he would have to do is go to the voters and do a charter change and say, let me go grab the $25 million out of the parks budget. And he also says he's going to sell the Family Arena and the National Equestrian Center, and he's going to use that money to go pay it. Well, you can't do that either because that's capital expenditure. So you can't sell a capital expense and turn around and use it for general fund money. It's just not allowed. So again, that's another one. You have to take that to the voters and ask them to give you a mulligan to move that money around. He doesn't tell people that. Also, the first election that you would be able to go to the voters and ask for the charter change would be April of 2028, because in 2027 is when you would come in and you would already be past the window where you'd be able to put something on the ballot in April of 2027. And in 27, we don't have an August or November. So it would have to be a special election, which would be crazy expensive countywide, or you'd have to wait till April of 28 and be able to put all that stuff on the ballot. And based on what you see in St. Charles City right now, if you talk about taking somebody's parks money, Lord help you. They are coming with torches and pitchforks, and they are going to hang you from the highest tree. And that is not a road that I think he really wants to go down. But he's going to turn around and blame people like me when he can't do it. And he's going to say it's the county council's fault of why I can't do all this stuff. I'm like, no, it's the Missouri Constitution and the St. Charles Charter that keeps you from being able to do all that stuff. But even if he could, I don't know where you cut all that stuff and be able to do it. I mean, if somebody came in and said, hey, I'm going to take a third of your household budget, how much is that going to change your life? Mm-hmm. It's going to change it drastically. Like, you're not going to be able to fix a road. You're not going to be able to do upkeep on your building. And that's assuming you can go grab all those funds, raid all those different funds, and be able to pocket all that money to go pay people's taxes, which, again, violates the Missouri Constitution.
So, Mike, I'm assuming what you're describing here is either he doesn't understand, which is concerning, or he's willfully misleading people or not being upfront about how all these things would have to happen. I'm assuming was a big point of contention when you say he and Steve were back and forth all night.
It is, yeah.
Besides that, besides like the technicalities and like, no, you're actually wrong here. Were there any just like policy issues that these two butted heads on? Like, were there any other big topics where you're like, whoa, there's a huge difference here?
Not really.
Okay.
I mean, there was a lot of parsing those issues individually that came up. I mean, one of the things Steve said is, what are you going to do? Get rid of the pet adoption center in Cottleville? Are you going to throw puppies on the street? Which was probably his best line of the night, to be honest with you. But Dave, to your earlier point, what do I think Steve should do? I think he should point out where he's wrong more aggressively. Steve is more of a statesman, not a stuntman. Bill is a stuntman, not a statesman, right? They're two different styles of getting to the same thing. And they're both good at what they do. But Bill's part is much more effective in campaigning. Steve is much more effective in running a government. So he understands the policy. He understands how to get things done. He understands how to work with people. If you look at the last 2 years that Bill was in the Senate, he shut down almost single-handedly the Missouri Senate in 23 and 24, and especially in 24. He and Caleb Rowden, who was the Speaker pro tem of the Senate, they fought so much that nothing got done. So, but that's, again, that's his brand. I think if Steve could aggressively point that out, it's more of a thing where I don't think Steve is a punch you in the mouth kind of guy. I think it's more of a smack in the back of the head type thing where the dad correcting the kid of, look, kid, you don't know what's going on. Pay attention to how this works. And then after you learn, then we'll get there. But it's going to be interesting to see how it goes. And I will tell you, the next 2 months in St. Charles County is going to get really ugly.
All right. Great information. Thanks, Mike.
Good to see you.
It's not in the way that you came back to me. It's not in the way that your love set me free.
Welcome back, DGS 426. Happy Thursday.
Here come the jesters.
So, Wheels.
Yes.
Out of the eligible players, who are the top two or three players that should be in the Hall of Fame but are not?
Boy, so I mean, I could run down a list of like 20 or 30 people with, you know, do it pretty easily. I think a lot of the guys that have been caught up in the PEDs and steroids have been caught up unfairly. Not that they did or didn't do it, but there are people in the hall that did things, and they're there, and we all know it, and they just didn't have the same level of coverage or the same exposure. You know, as just an example, David Ortiz. David Ortiz is in the Hall of Fame. He tested positive. Now, it was supposed to be an anonymous test, and people leaked the results. But we know it existed. So the double standard, to me, hoses all kinds of... Bonds should be in. Clemens should be in. I know it's not pretty because we know they did terrible things. But if we're going to already have people in there that we know did similar things, why are we picking these particular people to hold out?
Would you say you're in the minority?
Yeah, probably. Although I'd say it's probably a growing minority. Like, there are more people. I think the younger generations see it differently. The older generations are a little more harsh about it.
Yeah.
And I understand that. I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm just saying, you know, the practicality is there are people in the hall that did steroids. And gotcha. And then when people are not there for that reason, I have a hard time justifying that. But, I mean, I could list. Before Ted Simmons got in, he would have been probably my answer. Yeah.
Interesting. Good answer.